Welcome to BFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. We're so encouraged that you've joined us here today that we get to reveal the things, the awesome things the Lord is revealing to us, God's news behind the news, and so much more. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to BFN Radio.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited, guys, about today's program. I mean, so much has been happening. I mean, events, prophecies. I mean, it's almost like bugs hitting on a windshield.
I know.
Oh my goodness, I can't keep up with all of this.
I know, I've been digging them out of my eyes for a week.
I mean, God is speaking, and it's like, oh my gosh, it's surround sound. I mean, just praise the Lord this morning for the voice of God. That awesome. We serve a living God that so cares about every detail about our lives, and He desires to speak to us, to commune with us. John 15. Oh, my goodness. John 10, my sheep hear my voice.
That's right.
And it's the inheritance of the sons and the daughters of God that we commune with God and hear what He is saying. And I am very grateful.
Yes.
I'm very grateful.
Yes.
Well, you know, last week was a powerful, powerful program. If you've missed any of VFN Radio last week, say if you miss a day of VFN Radio, you miss a lot.
You miss a lot.
But thank the Lord that we do have an app, the VFN Radio app. And of course, you always can catch the highlights on the Torch, the VFN Torch, by going to VFNTV.com. And of course, we're always broadcasting 24/7 loops. So if you can't ever catch us live, which is 9 a.m. to 11 Central, you can always catch us on the loop. But you know, last week, our country, in particular, Boston, we had another attack.
Yeah,
another attack, and our hearts are still with the victims and the people of Boston, as they're just trying to get back to a place of normalcy, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's difficult times. I mean, we're in difficult times.
Yeah,
and we've prayed at the end of our program Friday, and I don't know if we prayed live, but we definitely prayed Friday that the Lord would grant favor and that the second suspect would be captured before sundown.
That's right.
Because, you know, once sundown goes down, and it's, you have the dark again.
Yeah.
And at one point during the program, we actually thought that, you know, they had a house surrounded. You know, there's been reports saying, come out, come out, come out. Give yourself up, and then nothing happened. So praise God. God answered our prayers.
Yeah.
God answered
sure
our prayers.
Did.
He was captured. He was captured. The second suspect was captured. He was hiding in a boat that was covered. And in recent, you know, over the weekend, they released thermo
imaging
images.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they knew the exact. I mean, he was curled up and everything. I mean,
they
saw everything where he was at, knew, you know, what was going on. And so they've taken him. He's alive. And of course, they're doing questioning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's time for now for Bostonians, it's time for the country, you know, to look at, you know, God. God. CBN just reported about a tribute that Boston's having, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about this, but I want you to listen up.
In Israel, the city of Boston observes a moment of silence today, 1 week after two bombs went off at the Boston Marathon. Meanwhile, investigators are learning more about the suspects, even as they try to communicate with the one left alive. 19-year-old Johar Sarnef is listed in serious but stable condition today. Heather Sells has the latest.
19-year-old Jahar Tsarnaev is unable to speak because of a neck injury, but has been able to respond sporadically to questions in writing. Investigators are trying to learn what motivated him and his brother's alleged involvement in the Boston Marathon attack and whether they had any help.
I'm not convinced at all that they're planning more attacks. I mean, that's hearsay. I haven't got information about that, but, we have to be vigilant.
But the city's police commissioner says a large store of weapons indicates they probably were planning more destruction.
They clearly had other explosives. They detonated those explosives at the scene of the arrest and shootout in Watertown. We feel that they had plans to use those explosives, possibly on soft targets.
Investigators are also trying to piece together whether the two brothers acted alone or as part of a larger sleeper cell. The investigation is prompting renewed concerns about the FBI's effectiveness in monitoring homegrown terrorists. The FBI questioned Tamerlan Tsarnaev at the request of Russian security services in 2011, but closed the case. Now we're learning that the 26-year-old traveled overseas to Russia and Chechnya just last year.
Somehow he got off the radar screen and traveled overseas to one of the most dangerous parts of the world.
But the fact is, we've stopped 16 plots in New York because we know that Al-Qaeda has shifted its tactics. It's not going to be attackers from overseas. We've been able to prevent that. They are getting people in our country who are under the radar screen.
In Boston, many of the victims from last week's bombing are still recovering in the hospital. The city as a whole is also looking for ways to recover from a week that has left many shaken, confused, and angry.
Forgiveness does not mean that we do not realize the heinousness of the crime, but in our own hearts, when we are unable to forgive, we make ourselves a victim of our own hatred.
Bostonians are taking a collective minute to remember and reflect at 2:50 p.m. today. That's the exact moment 1 week ago when the first bomb went off. Heather Sells, CBN News.
That's so important because not only do we have to, you know, give forgiveness, right? Because we're the ones that stay in bondage if we don't forgive.
Right.
But my goodness, it's a great time for Bostonians, for all of us, to check, search our hearts. I mean, we gotta ask God for forgiveness.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Look at what's happening. Look what America has. It's on the track, on the roadmap. What's happening? You know, and look where the church has been. It's like we've been sharing consistently by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Everything that the Lord has showed us of what is coming. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing all sorts of prophetic fulfillment every day. And one of the things that you know, we need desperately, and maybe we can link both of these words, but remember James Robinson's words about humility. You know what I'm saying? He says, there's a choice, humility or humiliation.
Humiliation, yeah.
But you choose. And we need to be humble. Americans, the church, we need to be humbled. Mm-hmm. When I think about these horrible, horrible, tragic events that have hit our country in recent time, you think about 9/11 and the terrorist attack, you know, we respond with, you know, we're going to build stronger and we're tough and stick our chest out. And we say, you know, they're not going to, you know, we're going to build again.
Yeah.
We're going to build again.
That's right.
And this pounding of the chest and New York strong and all of this. And it's like, oh my gosh, let's fall on our face.
That's right.
Let's fall on our face. I think about, you know, the hurricane that just hit New Jersey, this area, the whole Northeast, Hurricane Sandy. And my heart was grieved that as the storm is battling down, as waters are wreaking havoc in Staten Island and destroying, literally ripping apart the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. And you see on Twitter and Facebook, Jersey strong, Jersey strong. And it's like, you know, Jersey strong, Jersey on its knees. We need to be on our knees. We need to be, oh my goodness, what's happening? What's happening? And even with this, what just happened in Boston, when the Red Sox go to play their one of the first games back and in baseball, and I understand that people are trying to rally, you know, with folks and trying to get, people, I guess, in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a baseball player that's uses basically a curse word. This is our, you know, city, you know, and it's just like no one, you know, like this defiant thing, and just like, I'm grieved because I'm just thinking, we need to be on our knees.
Yeah.
I'm saying we need to be on our knees. It's not a time. You know, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But to me, it's like, oh, my goodness, let's just get on our face.
Yeah.
To think that two individuals, I mean, two, one who is like 19.
That we know of. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We know of. But it's like, no offense, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, your front brain is not fully developed. You turn 18 years old. It was, so it's like 19 years old.
Right.
Can shut down an entire city. Can hold a whole city in captivity for a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, catch a clue. Right. I mean, we just seen a whole new veil of something that is making a major turn. And the only answer is God.
That's
it's
right.
The only answer, you know, it's the only answer. And it's for us to be humble. It's for us to cry out to God. It's for us to turn our hearts and search, Lord, where do I need to be right with you?
Right.
Where do I need to be right with you?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's hope for America. I mean, there's hope for America, but it starts with us, the church, looking at our own hearts and getting right with God. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk about a powerful word that we shared last week. If you missed last Wednesday's program, we shared a powerful, just prophetic unveiling, a convergence, a choir of words that just came together. And we're going to just share a little bit about that when we get back. But you're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Why, if the government says that abortion is not murder, is Scott Peterson being charged with the murder of his wife and his unborn child?
In California, in order to get the death penalty, you have to have two counts of murder. So the DA there wisely indicted on both counts, both one count for the mother and one count for the unborn child, Connor Peterson. It was, you know, a crime to have the child killed by a murder, by an act of murder. But in California, for instance, under the district court's ruling, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, which prevents basically infanticide, was deemed to be unconstitutional. So it is a dual nature, and there's no way to rationally justify it. It's just, this is what I call the abortion distortion factor. It's as if the rules change when you're litigating over abortion.
Get involved. Find out how at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
You know, Greg, what's so encouraging about abiding is that you can have your own experience with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, many people are out there right now, and they're trying, and they really want to hear and learn something from God, but they're reading devotionals.
Yeah.
That's another person's abiding experience. That's what God told someone else.
Yeah.
But guess what? There is good news, Greg.
Yeah.
You can go to iabide.org, and you can follow a simple plan where you can hear God directly speak to you. Is that amazing?
Well, think about it. Their personal abiding experience was so powerful that you might be reading about their personal abiding experience today, calling it a devotional, and it is affecting you some way. You're actually eating another man's groceries. Do you know that God has food for you? Taste and see the Lord is good. Do you know that He has more than enough? He wants a personal abiding relationship with you. And you can find out more about that, just like you said, John, at iabide.org. You know, you write your own devotionals. When you start abiding with God, we have 8-year-olds that are writing their own devotionals. And they're just it's their own personal time with God, and they're writing it down, and it's a powerful encounter. Nobody can take that from them.
Fresh bread. Fresh manna daily.
Oh, my goodness. iabide.org. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching. We're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something. that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is, and it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something. That was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation. That stand with us prayerfully and financially. They just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we're just talking before the break, right, guys, about Boston, about, praise God, the answer to prayer, the capturing of the second victim, and just our need to cry out to God.
The second perpetrator. Yeah.
Perpetrator. Yeah. The victim. I'm thinking of the victims. You know what I'm saying? It was thinking of the little boy. Still connecting in my mind.
That's
connecting
so sad.
The second guy that was captured with the image that I saw of him standing right behind that little boy. You know, I'm like, oh God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just your heart just goes out. Mm. It's just a horrific, horrific, you know. Listen, as a chaplain at a trauma center, you know, I saw trauma on a daily, hourly basis. And you know, in order to minister with compassion, you've got to keep your heart soft. You can't be desensitized to it.
Right.
And it was just a constant place of shredding. I mean, it's just a constant place of brokenness that you see people, you know, going through so many life's tragic pain and tragedies. And it's like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a time that literally just changed my life and perspective. But just to see, it's amazing how many people come through a hospital. And it's amazing how none of them ever planned to come to the hospital emergency room. See, it was an emergency.
Right.
Nobody planned to be there, but yet and still, they were there. Mm. You know, and my job as a chaplain, I was right there in the emergency room. It was like the doctor, it's, you know, he's coding, they're bleeding, they're cutting off their pants. I mean, it's everything. It's just like chaotic. And I'm standing right there. And my job at the time was to go through the person that was in the ER, go through their personal belongings, I mean, their wallet, and try to notify a next of kin, a wife, a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the rules at the hospital had that even if the person was dead, you couldn't tell the family member over the phone that they had passed away. You need to come to that. You need to come to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how all the plans, all the intentions, everything you had going on was so important. But at that moment, it's like within minutes, there's all this family and friends. It's like you just rush the hospital.
Mm.
And we'd have these kind of waiting rooms specifically just for families. And it'd be just packed. act out. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that in a moment of brokenness and softness that just, people just listen, man. They just respond to God and they're open and everybody. I don't know of any person in that situation in my whole period of time there that ever turned down prayer. Mm. And it's just like, you know, even from my own experiences before I knew the Lord, you know, it's like, I don't need tragedies to turn to God. You know what I'm saying? I don't want tragedies. I had them years ago. I never want to revisit that again. Mm. But why a tragedy? Why is a tragedy necessary to bring us in a place where our heart is soft that we can respond to Him? Mm-hmm. And He's just so good and loving that we say, God, respond now. You know, I'm listening. Here I am, God, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. Because life is short. You just never know. Yeah. You never, never, never know. And tomorrow's written in a fool's calendar. Exactly all right. All we have is today. Mm-hmm. You know, don't hold back love. Is there love that you can tell someone? Open your mouth and tell them, I love you. Mm. You know, I love you. You know, yeah. You're important to me. You matter. It's nothing worse than someone passing away or no longer around. And you realize, why didn't I say that? Why didn't I? What held me back from saying those things? Now, you know, and it's like, God can heal that if that's happened in your life. You know, He can heal us, but we can change. We can seize the moment. We can seize life. You know, we talked I think last week on Make Today Count on VFN Radio. You know, make the day count. Don't just voyeuristically go through life and days and just, you know, humdrum and live for seasons in the summer and all that. No, make every single day count. Live with purpose. Live with destiny. Live with the fear of the Lord, which I'm hoping we can get to today in today's program. Just talking about this, just the fear of the Lord. I know God's speaking to so many of us right now, of just having this revelation in our heart. Mm-hmm. But who knows how much time America has, how much time we have, you know. Mm-hmm. All these thoughts and ideas about the tribulation is like, dude, you can go see the Lord tonight. You know what I'm saying? What you can see, you know, tribulation, rapture may occur for you in an hour.
Right.
The question is, what are you going to say when you see Him?
That's right. We don't know how much longer that. I remember Greg was talking about last week about that plank where America and a lot of us are walking on.
Yeah.
And blindfolded.
Yeah.
And we don't know if we got one more step or not.
Yeah. I was so powerful. The analogy that God gave him was that America's on this long plank, like in a pirate ship. Mm-hmm. This is a long plank of mercy.
Yeah.
And they've been walking blindfolded, and they have no idea that their next step, they've ran out of mercy. Mm-hmm. All the while that below this plank, you know, the sharks have been baited with chum.
Oh, yeah.
Bait.
Yeah.
And at any moment, the next step, it's over.
That's right.
It's over.
Not a clue.
No. And I'm reminded in Genesis where God says that my spirit will not always contend with man. And one of the things that we just got to be careful is that we don't take the mercy of God for granted. Mm. You know, you don't take God's mercy and just say, oh, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about it. Lord showed me this was so powerful, was that mercy should be appropriated in our life. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that if we're given mercy, that we use mercy. I mean, why would we give mercy to anybody? Why would God give us mercy? What was the purpose of mercy? Hopefully the purpose of mercy would be that we would learn our lesson. I mean, if you're driving down 100, you know, 50 miles over the speed limit and you know that you get a ticket. I mean, you know that, you know, broke the law. He pulled you over and you got. It's done.
Your head, yeah.
And a police officer pulled over to the side of you and says, I remember, I'll tell you a story. We were coming back one time in college from a road trip, and we're in Tallahassee somewhere. And one of my friends was speeding, and police officer pulls us over. Mm-hmm. I wasn't driving at the time. Pulls us over. And I'll never forget this. And we were like, we're trying to get back to classes and stuff. And we were late and we're trying to, you know, get back home after this road trip. I won't say what we were doing, but we're coming back.
Okay.
And the police officer pulls us over and says, you know, what are you guys doing? You guys are flying on this road. I mean, you got, you know, he's like, basically, you guys are done. You're getting a ticket.
Yeah.
And he goes back to the cruiser, and we're like, oh, great. You know, you already can't afford to live in college. Like, a ticket is like, you know, $1 million bill.
It's
like,
right. Oh, that's your groceries for a month.
Exactly. So he comes back, and with this father's heart, he looks at us and says, guys, I'm going to let you go. He says, you need to slow down. I mean, just like a father's heart, leans into the car. We're still sitting in the car. You need to slow down. He says, I do not want to scrape up another young person off of these highways.
Hmm.
I don't want to do that anymore. He says, we're like, oh my gosh. Wow. He's like, you know, talking about, you know, we were just sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, thank you, sir. Yes, yes, officer. Yeah. And he just talked with a father's heart and says, I'm not going to give you a ticket this time. He says, you guys deserve a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you mercy. You know, he didn't say mercy, but, you know, he says, I'm going to give you a break.
Cut your break, yeah.
And, you know, don't speed. You know, break it down. That's that long corridor, because there's a college, there's a couple colleges in Tallahassee, because a lot of people are traveling back and forth, and that's an area where people were, you know, speeding a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hurt his heart. And so what was the purpose of mercy? The purpose of mercy was for us to take that and say, dude, man, I'm going to learn from this experience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could have been dead right now. I could have been hurt. I could have hurt somebody else. At the minimum, I could have got a ticket.
Yeah.
And
at certain speeds, you can be arrested.
They
could take you away. I think it's like over 20 over the limit, maybe.
Really? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They had that choice.
Yeah. Well, think about it. All that stuff could have happened. So what would the police officer want us to do in that case of mercy? He'd want us to learn to appropriate that and say, you know what? I got a huge break. You know, I'm going to let this break serve me, and I'm not going to get into this again. I'm not going to speed on this road. I'm not going to speed at all. I'm going to let this soak in so it could change my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like America is racing on the highway to sin. It's just pedal to the metal, and it's just flying by.
Mm-hmm.
With no disregard to God. Nothing. It's just like flying in the face of the Lord. Music is cranked up high, not caring about anyone else who's on that road, what God says. There's blinking lights, slow down, danger, dead end, warning, don't get too close to the road. God has all this mercy on the side. You know, you get to the side of the road and you have those little bumper things that let you know mm-hmm. I'm too close. All these different things that God allows to happen. And it's like, are we going to listen to the mercy of God?
All right.
Are we going to slow down? Are we going to not live a reckless life in the face of God?
Mm-hmm.
And we just need to cry out for mercy.
That's right.
You just need to cry out for mercy. But when God gives us mercy, when God gives you mercy,
mm-hmm.
we don't want to take it and throw it back in the face and say, well, thanks for not the ticket, officer. See ya. And peel off as soon as he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what America's been doing.
Yeah.
That's what the church's been doing. She's been peeling off on God.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't play God. You know what I'm saying? You can't, like, you know, you can't fool God is what I'm trying to say. You're not going to get one over on him.
Mm-mm.
And the thing about it is that we don't know if we've caught the last break.
Yeah, exactly right. We don't know how many more steps we've got off that plank.
That's right. And so why not right now just cry out to God in your own situation? Say, Lord Jesus, you know, forgive me for my own sins, the sins of my nation, my family, and just repent.
Yeah.
And say, you know, I appreciate your mercy. And I'm going to allow this mercy to work in my life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In my life. So last week, we talked about, which kind of leads into what we're just talking about this prophetic word as we come to the end of this, is that Wednesday, we shared a word called convergence. Mm-hmm. Convergence. And if you're looking for the title, you can just type in convergence. But the whole title is The Convergence of a Choir of Prophetic Words, Ineptocracy, and Unless America Turns, America Will Burn.
Mm.
And the Coming Great Revival.
All right.
And this is a word that Rick Jordan was given. And within that kind of word, we, like, all these just prophetic words were just coming together. It was, you know, you had word from Rick Joyner and David Wilkinson and Call to Anguish, and you had Steve Hill with Spiritual Avalanche, and it's that God is shared with Greg, words that God shared with me, and it's just like, oh my goodness, we got off the program, we're thinking,
wow.
Wow. And we're just sitting looking at each other like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just all just God just overtook us.
Yeah.
And if you miss that word, you got to listen to it in its full context. It was April the 17th. You got to listen to it in its full context, but it's all coming together. And God says that he reveals his secrets to his friends. I mean, he tells us what's happening, and you can know.
Mm-hmm.
We're sharing with you now on VFN Radio. And you can know so that you can be prepared and respond appropriately.
Yeah.
And respond appropriately.
Exactly.
Well, guys, onto other news. I don't know if I know how much you guys are a fans, it's not football season. We don't have to, talk about the Saints. I noticed that there's no T-shirts coming on.
No. There's a draft this week. It's already begun.
Because, Chris, I noticed that in the last several weeks, there's been no Saints paraphernalia, no T-shirt, no nothing. I feel good about that. I feel good. But I do want to tell you that the boys are back. The boys are back, baseball. The boys are back. I know that you guys are excited. The season has started.
Who?
Baseball season has started. And I know that you guys are so excited about this. And we are pumped. I mean, we just have just maybe 20, 15 games or so into the season. And
the season?
I'll tell you. Oh, yeah. It was a major league season. But for my birthday, I was blessed to get this book. It's called Intentional Walk. Intentional Walk. There's a baseball
book. Is it an exercise book or something?
No. What this book is about, it's an inside look at the faith that drives the St. Louis Cardinals. This is really, really awesome. Because this is the back of the cover. It says, while the success of the St. Louis Cardinals, including 11 World Series titles, has been well documented, Intentional Walk is the first book to take an in-depth look at the role of the role Christian faith plays in the lives of the organization's players, management, and support staff. So they say, follow the Cardinals in 2012's quest to repeat their 2011 World Championship and discover how players find comfort in God's presence as they face highs and lows on and off the field. And it's just, the reviews on this are absolutely amazing. Everyone looks at how the St. Louis Cardinals won the World Series. No one saw them coming out. They were a wild card. No one saw them coming out of anywhere to do this. And they came and they persevered. And it was probably one of the best World Series I've ever seen.
Really?
See them win. Oh, yeah, it was great when they won. I mean, their manager, retired after that and everything. It was Tom La Russa, I believe, at the time. But they have a new manager who's a believer.
Mm-hmm.
And this team is like stacked with Christians. It's like,
oh, wow.
It's stacked. And they all give their testimonies in this book. So I haven't got a chance to read it yet. I hope that I can peel back some pages and I get some time. So much that, oh my goodness, I don't have any time for extra, reading right now.
All right.
But just the title alone, Intentional Walk, Intentionally Walking for God. And finding the story behind the story of one of the most successful teams in baseball and what was the reason that they won the World Series. I'll tell you, when you put God first in your life, don't be surprised when everything comes together.
What
I'm saying? We got to share that. It's like, it wasn't me. It was God.
Right.
And so this is that story of what God did in their own lives and how they became World Series championships. You're listening to VFN Radio, and we'll be right back after this break.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it, you're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supply. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people. I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers. And they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God. You can go back and watch that on BFN TV, maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too,
mm-hmm.
who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ. You loved each other. You ate together. You blessed each other. You blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so, when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name, and it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation, mm-hmm. and they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional, you know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving, helping him or her carry that load. And if it's, I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week, and you're, you know, it's a 24/7 thing, but there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship Him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And mm-hmm. and I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you.
Welcome, welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we are, my goodness, still in the first hour. We have so many amazing things that we do want to talk with you in the extra hour. But I had the chance, guys, when I was in the city with my wife to go to Central Park. And if we've shared some funny stories, if... we won't mention those right now about
that amazing race.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But at one of the places we were there near this place called Strawberry Fields, and park is like, it's huge. It's acres. I mean, it's just beautifully just landscaped and all these things. Well, there's this beautiful fountain under this by the fountain in this area. There's just like this pavilion.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a whole bunch of people just converging in that place. And that word is like everywhere. They're coming together in that place. And we like, what is that? What's going on? So we kind of walked on over there. And I had the chance to see this family that I found out later singing so beautiful. And the reason that they were under this kind of this pavilion is it's the architecture is so hard to explain. But think of like, I don't know, the court. You think of a courtyard that has these massive, like, steps of structure, and underneath it look like a little bit of a castle and, you know, like a walkway, if you will. But this walkway underneath was just completely tiled. So, and it was beautiful. So it's an artwork, you know, it's gorgeous. And the acoustics were amazing. And so, throughout the park, you see there's this gentleman who was playing one particular instrument. I have no idea what it was, not a common instrument. Then around the other fountain, there was this woman with a large harp. It had to be about 6 foot tall.
Oh, wow.
I mean, a harp. And she's thumming as people are rowboating, using a rowboat. And it, I mean, and like, this is right there in New York City. I mean, it's like,
wow.
It's surreal because it's like, there's a lake, there's water, there's rowboats, and just look up and there's a building right over there, you know.
Right, it
like,
doesn't fit.
It doesn't, you know. And she's doing this harp. And then if you go around the fountain, there it are two Asian gentlemen, and they're playing this like one string instrument, and they're making these amazing sounds that are, you know, I guess their traditional music is like this eclectic, just different sounds and music and beauty. But underneath this one pavilion, there's this family that is singing, and it's just like amazing.
Yeah.
I want you to listen to this group. It's there's the song they were singing was Amazing Grace. I want you to listen to how beautiful this sounds. Listen up. Amazing. I mean, it's just a beautiful, you got the, it's not the best of quality of sound, But it's just like all a cappella. They had a little simple track. There's a woman on the other side with a violin. Mm-hmm. And that's where I met Shigi Masa. He's from Japan.
Oh, wow.
And they're believers. I didn't know this at the time. And I'm just like, they were singing other songs. And then I started singing Amazing Grace. And I pull them on. I'm like, you know me, I love that type of stuff. So I'm like, I'm clapping. I'm, you know, and also this huge crowd starts coming. I'm like, you guys are awesome. Keep singing. One more.
Right.
I'm like, buy their CDs. We bought a CD from them. We're like, buy their CDs. This is, you know, and they were great. And they were all different ages. So you had those family. So during the break, I mean, we literally stood there a minimum of 30 minutes just listening to them sing. It was that beautiful. Just, wow. just going to move.
Mm-hmm.
And once there was a brief break, I had the chance to speak to the older gentleman who I found out was the father. And I asked him if he would do an interview for us for VFN Radio. So you're about to listen to an interview that I was able to do on the spot, with John Boyd as he's explaining what they're doing there in Central Park. Listen to VFN Radio. Listen up.
Hello, this is John Ramos of VFN Radio, and we're here in Central Park, and I'm just listening to some wonderful, beautiful Christian music. Sir, can you introduce yourself and tell us who you're with?
Sure. My name is John Boyd, and I'm the founder of the Peace Industry Music Group, which is a family group, mainly family, but we have other singers and musicians that perform with us.
Fantastic. Now, can you tell us a little bit how long you've been here, and what do you guys do here in Central Park?
We sing gospel music in Central Park, and we've been here about 6 years.
Fantastic. The music is so beautiful, and it's so anointed. How long have you been doing this on a daily basis, and what do you find out here as you're ministering with these beautiful songs?
Again, we've been here for 6 years, and we're out here pretty much every day for a couple of hours. And we've reached people from all over the world because people love the gospel music. And it's really unique and very powerful. And it's a way for people to make contact with God in the public square.
Fantastic. Now, I see different ages. Are these all your family members?
Yeah, they're mainly my children, my wife and I. We have 9 children, and 7 of them sing with us.
And how long have you been training your children in singing?
Since they were little babies, so they've been singing most of their lives.
And yourself, have you received any training yourself, and how long you've been singing?
I've been singing for over 30 years, so I have a lot of training, in professionally and informal training. I arrange and compose a lot of the music that we sing.
Well, you have a very talented and gifted family. I can see by the crowds that are gathered here today that you've touched so many. You've stopped us dead in our tracks. We were compelled to stop. And it's so beautiful to see what you're doing with your family, how you're ministering this wonderful music. And what would you tell other people how they can get in contact and want to hear this music? And maybe you've heard us on VFN Radio. How can they get in contact with your music?
They can look on our website. It's peaceindustrymusicgroup.com. So just think about Peace Industry, peaceindustrymusicgroup.com.
Well, thank you so much, John, for taking this time to do this on-the-spot interview here with VFN Radio. And God bless you and your family as you minister out here in Central Park.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. God bless everybody.
Wow, that was amazing. We wanted to, you know, have that for you, that interview. We're going to make those video clips available for you on The Torch today. But it's just amazing, just a family that loves God, that wants to minister, and people just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they stopped, and it was just amazing. As I got a chance to speak with him more, I found out that they actually attend the late Brother Dave Wilkerson's church in Times Square.
How about that?
They attend Times Square. And church, which is just an amazing, you know, place. And it was wonderful. I met Shigi Masa there. Shigi Masa is from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know he was with the group. And all of a sudden, he begins to sing. And I'm just literally floored. I'm like, looked at my wife. I'm like, is that coming out of his mouth? I mean, you're looking for like an audio, you're looking for like a tape or something. Are these people lip singing? Like, what is this? And at the end, I was able to talk to Shigi Masa, and he told me that he is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and wanted to come to the United States.
Wow.
And he wanted to learn and grow in music, and so he sings with this group, and it's just like, wow, God, what are you doing? If you have a gift, you know, use it for God, you know. You don't need just start exercising. Oftentimes people think, well, I need a, you know, a stage or a platform or somebody. No, right, you know what? These people are singing in a park. In a park.
That's it.
And they're touching. I mean, there's in the ages range. I mean, there was a boy as young as probably looks 11 or 12. Two young teenage daughters and an older teenage son. Mm-hmm. And then Shigi Masa and this other lady is playing the violin. So it's just beautiful. But if you have the gift and the Lord's giving you a gift, use your gift for God. You know, use your gift and watch what happens. Because it'll touch people, and they definitely did that at the park. So it was really beautiful.
That's beautiful.
We'll have that on the torch for you, and we'll also have a way that where you can connect and maybe probably order some of their music if it's something that you would want to listen to. I think they have a Facebook page too, so we'll kind of relate all of that for you together and get it all.
Awesome.
You know, some time ago, Pat and Chris, we talked about on VFN Radio, the Earth opening up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the first time we talked about the Earth opening up, swallowing someone, we thought, okay, this is interesting. We haven't heard about that in a long time.
Right.
And it was a man, you remember, in South Florida, that the Earth opened up not on his street or not in his backyard or not even around his house, but in his bedroom, but not only in his bedroom, but underneath his bed.
Yeah.
So they heard a loud noise and run to the room, and the guy, one of the family walks in and just says, oh my goodness, all I could see was this big hole and a mattress sticking out of this floor. Eventually, the hole went down 100 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine 100 feet. I mean, you and I and Chris, we jumped off of this tree that was like 20 feet, you know, right. Now we that give you a reference off of that, you know what I mean? That was pretty high. I've been 60 feet before, and that's like nerve-wracking.
Yeah, I dove off a 40-foot telephone pole once.
Oh, okay. Remember? We won't talk about that. Yeah.
No, we've talked about it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, high ropes.
I'm messing
things.
With you. Yeah. Yeah, high ropes adventure thing. Yeah. That's amazing. So you get a grip of 40
there.
And 60.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100 feet in the ground. Well, then we reported and shared that, oh my goodness, this happened yet again somewhere up north where these guys are on a golf course and there wasn't a hole that opened up in the golf course and there was like three or four other men, but that a hole opened up around one person.
Yeah.
And they went down.
Yeah.
One person.
It was small too.
And they had to take like Pat's waist size, very small circle. And
yeah,
the person went down. And the only thing the person could think about was, oh my goodness, this happened to the guy in Florida. I hope this thing doesn't go down any further. They put a ladder down there, the whole 9 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, in Chicago.
Not again.
It's happened again.
Are you serious?
It's happened again. This time we actually have video. You actually see three cars, two that are already in the dirt. And you actually see one car that literally just rolls, right? The road just collapses. This happened to be, they said some kind of water main or something broke. But it's just amazing to me to see, oh my goodness, what is happening that the earth is opening? I mean, on VFN Radio, we've talked about the infestation of large snails as big as rats.
Yeah.
We've talked about the locusts that have swarmed Egypt. Okay, talking about biblical proportion to the point that they had to stop the vehicles because they couldn't see past their windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the earth opening up underneath people. Let me tell you something. And this is enough to get like, God, I think you got my attention. What is happening? You could be driving down a road and the earth opens up. You could be playing golf, minding your own business, and the earth opens up underneath your feet. You could be sleeping in your own bed.
All right.
And so you get, you say, well, you know, there's sinkholes in Florida. No. It's like there's happening everywhere. And what we talked about one of the last times is like, you know, this is like a warning. You know what I'm saying? let's take the situations and a warning. A misfortune does follow some people, but let's not focus on the other people and just say, you know, God, if that happened to me, where would I be today?
Exactly.
Where would I be today? And it's so important to think about, Lord, every single day, I just want my heart and my life to be connected to you. And Jonathan Edwards says something that should put a fear of God in us. He said, you know, I resolve never to do anything which I would be ashamed to do if it was the last hour of my life.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.